I've been thinking lately, a lot of younger people. Really, I just want to be very simple. I hope to be short. Hopefully, time for other people. But have you ever thought, why do we come here? Why do we, is it just tradition? Is this just something that some people, a number of years ago, met at a spot, Springfield West, and started the church? Is that what happened? Or do what we do as our very function, is it something that is from the scriptures? Because as I look at people, I'm starting to realize that I'm not as young as I like to think I am. I can look back, and I was just commenting to David Hurley not too long ago. I remember her brother McElwain. He used to come up, and I used to enjoy it. And I'm certainly no replacement for Mr. McElwain. But he used to go through very basic assembly truths. And that's really, I just wanted to just touch on a few things. So before we go to Matthew, as you look in the Old Testament, and we do have to be careful, because while there's great pictures, and hopefully in the future, whenever Scott comes up with the tabernacle, he will show some very good pictures from the Old Testament. One thing we do have to keep in mind when it comes to the local assembly is that really the church, whether it was the bigger aspect, which we're going to look at for a second here in Matthew 16, or really the local church, really, we're told many times in the New Testament, really it's something in the Old Testament that was mystery. But yet, it's very important for you to read the Old Testament. And as Marcus was just praying, we can remember our brother Timmy used to really encourage us to read the Old Testament. A lot of the older brethren encourage us to read the Old Testament, and I would do the same, because you will see some principles that are established in the Old Testament that apply all the way through. Number one, you can see really the very holiness of God. We can understand the idea of sin and how it affects us. And really, as we can also see that there's a desire that God has to dwell among his people. That was really the idea of the tabernacle. God wanted to have a way in which that he could dwell among his people. And really, that was God's purpose in creating man, was that he wanted to have a creature that he created to have a personal relationship with, that he could dwell with. And that's really the idea of a local church, is it is a place where God has chosen to place his name. But even more importantly, that is where the Lord Jesus has chosen to dwell. And he encourages us to dwell with him as well. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16. As we've been going through our Bible study on Sunday in Matthew, I've been really mentioning it's interesting to see the progression through the Gospel of Matthew. You can really the Gospel of the Kingdom, and you can see as the Lord Jesus begins to teach, he's really spending a lot of focus upon the Jews and upon the nation, and really you get the Sermon on the Mount, and you get all these different things. But as we come to chapter 12, chapter 13, we can almost see a change where, you know, the leaders of the Jews, they really ascribed the power of the Spirit of God to demons. And we can read this expression, he went out of the house. It's an interesting expression. And there, as you can almost see, is the Lord Jesus really starting to turn, and he's starting to introduce to us something else. And here is, as he takes the disciples out to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that's where we're going to begin to read, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And they said, some thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, really a stone, and upon this rock, not upon Peter, but really upon the truth that Peter had just said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And there's an interesting expression here, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever shall bound in heaven, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Over two chapters, so chapter 18, was really, it's interesting. I was just thinking today, I was actually saying to Titus that I guess today they elected a new pope, and that's really what, there's a certain religious system will almost try to, they'll try to say that really Peter was the first pope of the first church. Well, Peter wasn't a pope, he was an apostle, and you can see from this that he was really instrumental, and as we go through the Acts, we can see that Peter really was at the forefront of this new thing that God was doing. And it's interesting, that expression, we're going to read the same expression here in chapter 18, Matthew 18 and verse 18. Because really, it's interesting, and I'll say something a little more on this, but it's interesting, the first mention of the local church. Surprise, surprise, the oversight, the church, they're dealing with problems. Verily I say unto you, Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. Of course, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We're, of course, going to go to Acts chapter 2 in a minute, but again, that expression in verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Really, as we read that, especially in this version, it almost sounds that what is done on earth, well, heaven is going to do up there. Well, really, it's the other way around. And I appreciated something our brother Procopio said about a year ago. He was taking up the assembly, and he when he was a younger man, he said someone, one of the older oversight, I believe, was, asked him what he thought an assembly was. And I really liked the answer that this older man gave to John, and I think that's very important. Really, what an assembly is a group of believers that gather together and seek to obey the Word of God. And really, that's my challenge to whether it's much older than me or younger than me. Really, when it comes to gathering to the name, gathering to the assembly, it's not something that we have concocted up, and it shouldn't be. Someone was praying tonight about opinions and preferences and all those different things. They have their place, but when it comes to the assembly, really what is important is that we follow the Word of God. You know, someone asked me a number of years ago, not a Christian, not among us, and they really asked, well, there's one God and there's one Bible, there's really, people talk about Christianity, but why is there so many different churches? Well, really what happens is that we, humans, we start to add our opinion into the Word of God, and we really start to veer off course. You know, it's easy for us to point our fingers at these other groups, and we can point out their faults, but really my challenge to myself, my challenge to you, is that we might be like those of us that have Berea. It says they were more noble than them in Thessalonica. Why? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And that's really when it comes to gathering to His name and how we function. And yes, I'll reiterate, I've said this before, that God does place those in the responsibility of leadership. And our responsibility is to submit. Yes, we need to pray for oversight. We need to pray for the oversight of every local church. But really, when it comes to our function in the local church, there's a place for us to submit. But yet, the overriding guideline, the overriding manual, so to speak, and I was thinking back where Daryl still works, I remember, I thankfully never had to face the auditors, but what happened when an auditor would come in, it's really a third party, and they would come in, they weren't engine technicians, they weren't machinists, they weren't anyone really hands-on, but what really they were trying to do was to watch a technician, watch the procedure, and to see if they were following the manual. Now, my understanding, when I worked in a role as a machinist and I was doing something that wasn't according to the manual, and maybe I had my opinion, and maybe Daryl's opinion, maybe some other group of machinists' opinion, but if it didn't match the manual, it would be documented. So really, just simply speaking, if the Lord was to send an auditor to this assembly, and again, I'm not thinking of anything, I'm not picking at anything, but really just for our own sake to think. If heaven was to send a compliance auditor to here, how would we do? If we were functioning in the role that God has you in, and someone was to come up to you and to ask you, why are you doing what you do? Would you be able to go to the manual? Would you be able to go to the Bible and to show them? That's really what my burden is for each one tonight, is that we would understand and know why, number one, we are gathered where we are, why we function the way that we do, and really that we might be encouraged to gather to his name. Excuse me, this verse 20 that we often think about, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. A very simple verse in a lot of ways, but yet there's so much depth to it. Really, we got an idea of where, we got a location, where two or three are gathered, and that's that word again, are, is really the idea. It's in the passive tense. It's not so much that, yes, I get in the car and I drove here and I came through the door to be here this morning, but this evening. But really, when it comes to being gathered to his name, it's really he is gathering us to him. That's the idea. God has placed his name in this locality, and really what has he done? He's drawn people to himself. And there's also, and I'm not a grammatical expert, but there's also something there as well that it's really not just a one-time thing. Are gathered. It's really the idea. Having gathered, are still gathering, and continuing to gather. So we can see that from this passage. Let's go for a minute to Acts chapter 2. As I did mention, it's interesting that the first mention of a local church, the church is dealing with problems. You know, I've been around long enough, and I remember, it wasn't that long ago, our dear brother Sandy Higgins was speaking at a conference, and he said in his years in being involved in oversight and assembly and teaching and being invited to different places, he said, I've seen a lot of people leave the local church, the local assembly. But he said, I can probably count on one hand the amount of people I can think of that have left because of scriptural doctrinal reasons. And that's really sad. It's so easy for us to maybe look at the way someone does things or they have opinions that, and our personalities clash, and it can become a pretty big problem. And here is, as we are giving, I'm not getting into it tonight, but there's really a scriptural way for us to deal with it. If you read Matthew chapter 18, but I just want to reiterate, it's where you have people, you're going to have problems. I remember, again, going back to, I remember our brother McElwain saying it many, many times. If you ever find the perfect assembly, don't join it because you will spoil it. And you will do the same, and I will do the same. But isn't it so sweet that we have the privilege to come, to gather to his name with all our problems? Maybe I rub you the wrong way. Maybe you rub me the wrong way. Maybe there's times that we've been praying tonight already. Sometimes there's opinions and there's friction that comes up. Despite all that, I was enjoying that on Sunday morning. The Lord knew the disciples. And even as the disciples were going with the Lord on his way to be crucified, what were they arguing about? They were saying, who is the greatest among us? To think about that. And yet his desire was to eat the Passover with them. So just interesting, and maybe just to encourage, especially those that are younger, don't be surprised if there's problems. Don't be surprised if there's somebody in this assembly or maybe some other assembly that you might be a part of in the future that is going to cause you grief and is going to annoy you. So be it. There's probably things about you that annoy them as well. That's why we're told to really forbear, to pray for one another, and in unity, to come together. Why? Together to his name and his name alone. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Of course, we understand this is really Peter as he was preaching, and you know, we've been blessed in the past to see people saved, but here is the gospel is preached and 3,000 souls were saved. It's quite a revival. So really we do see the pattern here of how an assembly is formed. We can read, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them with 3,000 souls. I'll continue here in a minute, but again, really, we see that scriptural pattern, don't we, through the Acts? What happened? How do we know God has placed his name in a certain place? Well, God really has sent his disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And not only to preach the gospel, his command was to see them saved, see them baptized, to teach them in really all that the Lord Jesus said, all that I've been teaching you. Teach them to observe all things. So really, as the gospel goes out, and you know, we can be thankful even on the island, as you read books like the Mr. Ramsey wrote, you can see how God worked mightily where the gospel was preached, and there was a response not only to the gospel, but as the gospel was preached and as the word of God was taught, there was a response to the word of God. And it became evident through much prayer that God had placed his name there. And he began to draw people to himself. So you can see that the day that gladly received his word, salvation, they were baptized. And there's something else there. Were added. I remember our brother Scott saying, in the past, we have no trouble with the idea of someone being saved. We have no trouble with the idea, we just witnessed it on Sunday, someone being baptized. But I think it's also a very scriptural event where somebody is received, brought into a local assembly. So we can see that pattern. And then as it continues in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is what is important. As I, going back to my comments earlier, the whole Bible is very, very important, and I would encourage you to read it. But when it comes to New Testament assembly teaching, it's in the New Testament. That's where the teaching, that's where the doctrine comes from, is from the New Testament. I think it was our brother Sean Sinclair a few years ago, he said, really, when it comes to doctrine, really, it's something the Lord gave a seed plot to in the Gospels. It's something that you see practiced in the Acts. And then it's something that is expanded on, given further teaching in the epistles. So you can see that there's many things. I'm not going to spend time on that. But as you can see, even with the assembly, the Lord really gave seed plot in Matthew chapter 18. And then, of course, we can see it all through the Acts. You can see the gospel is preached. People are saved. Assemblies are planted. People are added to the assemblies. The Lord worked mightily. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and so on. And again, to reiterate what I said a few minutes ago, without problems in the local assembly, how much teaching would we have received? You go down through the epistles, and generally, especially with the Apostle Paul, as he writes these epistles, what's he dealing with? He's really dealing with issues, with problems that have come up, and through the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God, Paul writes. And 2,000 years later, here we are. We can pick up the Bible in our own language and read what was written 2,000 years ago. And it's every bit as much of the word of God as it was back then. So really, just to reiterate, and they that gladly received his word were baptized and were added and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then we get really three definite things here. The fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. You know, we can have fellowship with any believer. Doesn't matter whether they go to church or whether they're part of an assembly, whether they're even, you know, any Christian that we have, we can have a level of fellowship with them, but this is something that's a little different. It's something special. The fellowship, it's a definite article. And really, it's a fellowship that, again, there's salvation, there's baptism, there's really being received, but then there's an agreement upon doctrine. And then you've got, it's a fellowship, the breaking of bread. That's something that we do every Sunday morning. And that's really, really, we see that again through the Acts. Again, I think I mentioned this a couple of months ago, that there's no scripture that says, thou shalt break bread every Sunday morning, but go through the Acts. What happened? On the first day of the week, in Acts 20, when the disciples came together to break bread, you just see it function very simple. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. That's why we do that. That's why we come every Sunday morning. We come. And there are things about the hymn book that we use and maybe the format of the worship and the hymns and all those things are all really left up to each assembly. That's why we have oversight. But really the idea of the breaking of bread is something the Lord asked us to do as a local assembly upon the first day of the week. And that's why we do that. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Something I was enjoying today as well. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Again, the Apostle Paul's writing, "These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou hast to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And I'm just appreciating this little expression, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's really the idea of really a foundation and really the bulwark, or almost the idea of bracing. And any of you that have been involved in construction will understand that you can put a foundation in, but as you begin to build a structure, there's usually in the plans there's a number of bracing that has to put in. Why? To stabilize it. So really, when it comes to the local church, it's really based upon truths. It's based in the Word of God, both in its foundation, which again, you go through the Bible, you'll see the foundation is the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. And again, we can't stress this enough. The foundation of every true church is the gospel. And that's something that has to continue. The gospel was preached when the assembly was formed, and it's really something, it's really something we've been given from God. Preach the gospel. The pillar and the ground of the truth. You got the foundation, you got the different works. You can get that in 1 Corinthians. You'll see that there's different men that build into the thing. But yet, when it comes to the foundation, to what's going to hold it, what's going to keep it together, it's the pillar and the ground of the truth. And there's a lot that can be said. Again, there's different things that mark an assembly. Really, when it comes to this era that we're in, it's mostly a very spiritual, heavenly idea. When it comes to the church of Jesus' body, there's many blessings that are given to the church of his body. But then there's something else, and I want to reiterate this as well, that the church is not the replacement of Israel. You'll get that a lot in today when you're reading different people online. There's a lot of this idea, well, Israel existed, but now all the blessings that were given to Israel have been really replaced in the church. That's a bunch of nonsense. Israel is going to be taken up again in the future. They will exist as a remnant nation in the future. God has a great program for them as well. But when it comes to this that we're a part of, and really the local church is really just a snapshot of really the bigger program that God has. And as I mentioned that, as you see through Matthew, really today we live in a world where the King, the Lord of Lords, he's been rejected. But just to think, as the Lord looks down upon a little assembly in O'Leary, in Rosebank, in other places, where God has placed his name, where companies of believers come together, and the Lord can look down upon heaven, and he can see a representation of his kingdom right now. In the coming day, in the millennium, he's going to reign in this world, and sin is going to instantly be put down. He's going to reign in righteousness. If we can look forward to that, we're going to be part of that as well. But for right now, I want to encourage each one. When it comes to being part of a local church, you are really part. We're not perfect. Again, reiterate, thankful for the elders here. Pray for them. They don't have an easy work. But as they move in a role of leadership that God has placed them in, God can look down upon a little company. And he can understand there they are with their faults, with their problems, and even lately, as we remind it, with so much thing to stress us. And yet there's something that God can see here. A little local company of believers seeking together to his name. And he can see a little picture of the kingdom. The kingdom, yes, it's in our hearts. That's really the idea of the kingdom in Matthew's gospel later on. It's not a physical throne and a physical, that's coming in the millennium. But we can be part of something where God, where the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords has his rightful place. Again, with all our problems. Or maybe there's times that maybe you and I don't see eye to eye. But yet, he has placed his name. And we have the great privilege of gathering unto him. There's so much more. I wrote a lot of notes down. There's other things that we can see. There's the idea of headship with the women with their heads covered. And the men with their head uncovered. Really, you go to 1 Corinthians 11, you'll really can see that when men and women are in the roles that God has given, I'm not in display. The women aren't in display. Really, in a sense, my gift is, or lack of it, is not really on display. Really, when the church is functioning, what is really to be on display? Christ. And that's really the idea. And there's many other things that we can talk about. And really, you know, come to 1 Corinthians 14. If someone comes in and they're viewing the way that the church functions, if they can see the gift being functioned the way that God intends, the women with their head covered, the men with their head uncovered, and as the gift is functioned, where God is being praised, where Christ is being exalted, what's the desired result? That they that are viewing what is happening might fall on their faces and say, what? God is in you. Of the truth. So really, maybe it was a little bit jumbled up and pretty well took the time, but just to encourage each one of us, whether you're much older than me or much younger, appreciate the assembly that God has placed you in. If you're not in the assembly, you are saved. Pray. Search the scriptures. See where God would have you to be. His desire is to have you gathered to his name, where he is. And yes, there will be times where maybe you will feel like walking away from it all. But don't. Just understand, and I remember Murray telling me this. He was over shortly before I came in the assembly, and he told me, and it stuck with me. If you forget the person that is there, you won't be there very long. So with that, I'll take my seat, and I trust that this will maybe just give you a little bit of help when you read the scriptures, in particular the New Testament. Look for Christ. Look for him. Appreciate him. And just understand that just as you come and gather to him, you are actually bringing pleasure and happiness to the very heart of the very God that loves you. The God that sent his son into the world. He died upon the cross. And you know what? He's purchased the whole body of Christ with his blood. But he's also purchased the local assembly with his blood. It took the same blood. So with that, I trust that you will be encouraged tonight.